today on Real Radio.
God bless this church. May it never stop trying stuff. God in it? Is God in it? Let's see. Step out. Let's see. Well, he's not in it. Okay, so yeah, now I can say I agree with you. It was stupid, but you know what? We tried. Hey, Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall carry out great exploits. Well, how do you carry out a great exploit? You've got to try.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Miracle of Ministry, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the amazing journey of the first century apostles. Their ministry, of course, began in Jerusalem, but through the promptings of the Holy Spirit, the church begins to spread throughout the other regions of the world. In a message called Are You Really a Believer? From Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 31, we learned that not all decisions are lasting ones, but Paul, through his conversion, showed us that he truly was a believer by how he responded to the gospel message. Now from chapter 9, verses 19 through 31, we'll see how the apostle Peter makes himself an available channel for miracles and for ministry in the outer parts of the country. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that the miracle of ministry results in people coming to faith in Christ. And the key, of course, to a fulfilling Christian life comes from taking our eyes off ourselves and serving others. Our dedication, even our sickness and pain, can bring glory to God. And now, continuing his lesson called The Miracle of Ministry, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The second thing that I want you to mark down is the miracle of ministry and giving true life, verses 36 to 41. Verses 36 to 41, and this is found in the life of this woman, Tabitha. At Joppa, today is Jaffa in that area, Israel, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. Circle a certain disciple. This is really exciting because in verses 32 to 35, that certain man is, of course, Aeneas, and he was not a believer. He became a believer. The Greek implies that in verses 32 to 35, he was not a believer. But in verses 36 to 41, she is a believer. And look how it distinguishes the two. Verse 33, he found a certain man. Verse 36, and at Joppa there was a certain what? Disciple, follower of Jesus Christ named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. It was a beautiful name. Listen to this. The word Tabitha, or the name Tabitha and the name Dorcas, it means exactly the same thing. It means gazelle. And in that culture, when you wanted to bless somebody, you called them. Remember the Song of Solomon? How he looks at his bride and he says, you've got dove's eyes. Dove's eyes. He says, you have two certain body parts that look like deers. Deers. And he describes her all in this animal language. What's he doing? Well, it's because in that culture, if you had beautiful eyes, they considered the dove's eyes to be very beautiful, or deer eyes, or fawn eyes. And they would say, your eyes look like a fawn. We're going to name you Fawn. You know what? You're so graceful and so beautiful. You look like a gazelle. And it wasn't a rip. Well, gazelle in Greek is Dorcas. In Aramaic, it's Tabitha. Gazelle, same thing. Beautiful word. Beautiful woman of God. Listen to this. She's precious. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. Number one, charitable deeds. It's the word almsgiving. She did her righteousness unto God. She blessed the poor people. She loved blessing poor people. And it's called almsgiving. That means righteous acts. It means she knows God. It wasn't just, you know, I'm going to give to the goodwill. Oh, no. She loved God. She loved God so much that she had to bless his people. She's a precious woman. In fact, you know, there's societies around the world. I didn't know this, but I read this. That it's the Dorcas Society. Benevolence from this woman. What a ministry. The ministry. Well, she was a precious woman. Very, very needed in the body there. And in verse 36, it says concerning her deeds, which she did. And I circled that in my Bible because I appreciate that so much. Which she did? You know what a lot of people at this church in time were doing? While she was doing all of her work, they were dreaming about ministry. You know, when I grow up, someday I'm going to be like a Dorcas. When I grow up, someday I'm going to be like a Paul. When I grow up, someday I'm going to be like a Peter. When I grow up, someday, they just thought about it. Dorcas said, well, shine that. She got out her Singer sewing machine. She got out her thimble. And she went to work and she blessed God's people. She didn't stand around and wait. She was not only available, she used the gift that God had given her. Well, I can only do this. I can only do that. God says, I'll take it. Beautiful. God's using her. Three little words with a big meaning, which she did. Serving. Isn't it funny how we get so cautious? I don't know if the Lord's calling me to do this, so I'm not going to do anything. But, you know, we drive by a car lot and see that car that's, you know, dropped down in price by 0.5%. And it's, I think God's speaking to me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to move in faith. I'm going to buy that Corvette. And somebody says, you know, I've been praying. I really think you'd make a great usher. Oh, I'll have to pray about it, brother. I don't know. What are we so afraid of? For crying out loud. We're so cautious about the things that we ought to run ahead with. But boy, when it comes to the thing that it doesn't matter, it's like, let's go. I got faith. Put the charge card down. Let's do it. You know, we're funny people. We've got it all messed up. We need to just be careful for the wrong things and listen, be recklessly abandoned toward God concerning His things. God bless this church if it gets up and tries something and it doesn't work. God bless it. And He will bless it. But the day we sit back and go, I don't think it'll work. I don't think so. Do you know God is mostly in things that don't look like they're going to work? Are you aware of that? Who would have thought? 12 guys. I mean, look, would you have picked the 12 disciples to build the eternal church of Jesus Christ with? Peter's going around beating people up. You know, James and John, guys riding black donkeys. You know, Judas, you know, ripoff artist. Simon the Zealot, I mean, he's like, you know, he's got a knife in his mouth looking at people. It's true. Read about these guys. They were crazies. Would you have picked them? No, we would have got a CPA. Would have got a CEO. That's how God doesn't work that way. He works through the thing and chooses the thing that's not obvious. And there's a lot of armchair leaders sitting around. Well, I wouldn't have did it. Well, that's easy to say after you've never tried anything. But God bless this church. May it never stop trying stuff. God in it? Is God in it? Let's see. Step out. Let's see. Well, He's not in it. And there's going to be people saying, well, that was stupid. Okay, so, yeah, now I can say I agree with you, it was stupid, but you know what, we tried. Hey, Daniel 11:32. They that know their God shall carry out great exploits. Well, how do you carry out a great exploit? You've got to try. Dorcas is making herself available. She's serving the body in the area that she's been called. Look at this, beautiful practical love that she gives. Jot this down in your notes, practical love, John 13:34. A new commandment, Jesus says, that I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also may love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another. Christian, do you have love one for another this morning? 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows Him. He who does not love does not know God. Pretty clear. Dorcas took her sewing machine. She dedicated it unto the Lord. You might take your business and give it unto God. You might have a computer at home and you're wondering, you know, I don't know, you dedicate it to God. Anything. Give it to Him. She took her sewing needle and her thimble and dedicated it. Because look what it says here. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. And then they washed her and laid her in the upper room, preparing her for burial. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two of the men imploring him not to delay in coming. And then Peter arose and he went with them. This blows my mind. This is big time Peter, man. This is Peter the big kahuna. He's a big guy, man. He's the leader of the church. Two guys show up. Peter! Are you Peter? Yeah, I'm Peter. We have a lady in another town over. She's dead. We want you to come and do something. We heard about you and Aeneas, and we want you to come. Well, Peter could have said, wait a minute, I'm Peter. I mean, I'm the big kahuna. I mean, I don't do little gigs like that. I mean, how many people do you think is going to show up? What's the seating? Is it going to be carried by a local radio station? You know what? I'm really busy. I don't know. I'll get on the phone and I'll find a couple of guys nearby. There's believers in that town. He doesn't do that stuff. Well, I'm the big kahuna. No. Mark 10:44 says, and Jesus said, whoever of you will be the chiefest, the word in the Greek is big kahuna, shall be servant of all. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Learn to be the servant of all. Don't you love Peter? Peter goes, wait a minute, let me see if I got this straight. You guys have come from a town down the highway, 10, 15 miles away. You want me to just backtrack because it's going back the opposite way, minister to one woman and she's dead? I don't think so. No. He goes, all right. And they said, great, we got two donkeys, or we got a donkey, you know, sitting out front. Let's go. And he gets up and he moves. He's a servant of God. God can use sickness. God can use even death to his glory, and he does. Verse 39, then Peter arose and he went with them, and when he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing, here you go, her sewing ministry, showing them the tunics and the garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. Isn't this precious? What a commentary. All these little jackets and booties and comforters and stuff, and they're sitting in there crying. Ooh, they're crying. Gee, we love her. She, look, and she clothed us. We were cold, and she blessed us, and she made my husband a jacket and all this stuff, and she this, and they're just missing her. You know what blows my mind? The woman's dead. They loved her, listen, so much that they're willing to go get Peter, get him here, because maybe God will do something and bring her back. And I thought about this for a minute. For goodness sake, if I die, or when I die, oh, Lord, bless them. Let them go. Just let them go. Keep them going, Lord. By the way, if I die and you pray to bring me back, can you imagine? Dorcas is in glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. You're awesome. You're great. And this, Dorcas, you got to go back. Why? There's some guy by the name of Peter praying for you. Oh, brother. But the part that blows my mind is she's got such a ministry that when she dies, the people are lamenting and they're, have you had any deaths in your life, in your family? You don't look at the pictures the same. My house is full of comforters and stuff that my mom made. We use them all the time, you know. They're on our beds. And you can't look at them without thinking, my mom made that. And the hands that made that, the heart that made that, it's in glory. Dorcas. And it's incredible. And so the thing is, they're all standing there and they're going, oh, and they're trying to be near her. You know, she's gone. The body's laying there. So they grab the blanket and they can almost smell her hands, you know, the smell of her house. I'm going, Peter, do something, will you? Will you do something, Peter? Maybe God might bring her back. And Peter is so precious. This man is caught on to ministry. Look what he does. It says there, verse 40, that Peter put them all out. Get out. All of you ladies, get out of the room. Go. Get out of the room. Go. Why did he do that? Because Jesus did it that way. Peter and John, they were with Jesus when he raised the little girl. Talithi kumi. This is Tabitha kumi. Tabitha kumi. Little gazelle, arise. Talitha kumi, my little lamb, Jesus said, arise. So Peter says, okay, ministry 1:9. Section 42, Jesus put them out. I got it. Go out, go out, go out. And I love this. Hey, there's not cameras focused on him. He probably draws the curtains. He doesn't stand up. He gets on his knees. Where every miracle should be birthed is on his knees. Not in front of the camera. Gets on his knees and he just cries out to God, God, if you want to do something here, it's okay with me. Some scholars have said the reason why Peter put the people out is because he may be thinking if God doesn't do anything, he doesn't want to look like a bozo. I don't think that's his problem. I mean, I would understand him putting the people out because I don't want to call on the name of Jesus and nothing happen and people think that Jesus is somehow weak because I know he's not. But he puts them out. Gets on his knees. Look at verse 40 is incredible. He put them all out. He knelt down. He prayed. In other words, he's saying, I can't do this. God, I cannot do this. Now, this is faith. You ever been there? Lord, in Jesus' name, and you look, he's looking. I ask you to heal him, Lord, and you look. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to raise Tabitha. He looks at the body, it's dead, and says, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and she said, why did you bring me back? What a trip. I would have loved to have seen this. He holds out her hand, raises her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, can you imagine? You think he went, open the door. You guys want to come in? Yeah, everything's fine. I don't know, man. I think he would have went, come here! Come on, kid! Come here! Come here! Come here! They came running in there. And look at, jot this down. The saints and the widows, he presented her alive. The word in the Greek, present, means to come alongside and to give away. It's the word used for a wedding, for a father to give away his bride. Peter's got Tabitha on his arm, and he says, hey, everybody, here she is. And he gives her away back to her friends. The word present means to give the one who's alongside you away. Like a father would give his daughter to the husband-to-be. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way ministry should be. On your knees, asking God, giving people away. They're not your people. Do you have a ministry here at this church? Are you in the children's ministry, college and career singles? They're not your people. Oh yeah, I know, Jack, you're the pastor. No, I'm not. Jesus is the pastor. They're his people. None of us died for them. They're not our sheep. You're not our sheep. You're not my sheep. You're Jesus' little lambs. And when you come into ministry the way it ought to be, you are used to heal them. Bless them. Then give them away. Give them back to the Lord. Don't hang on to them. They're not yours to hang on to. Give them up. And we'll end with this. The last point, and I think is the third miracle, the miracle of ministry, God is glorified. Verses 42 and 43. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many, many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. That's the way ministry should be, is that people are brought to the Lord. That's the way a miracle ought to be. A miracle ought to generate salvation. That's the point. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16. The miracle of ministry is to glorify God. And we could go on and on, but we won't. But there's a little macro miracle in the midst of all this. Look at verse 43, and we'll end here. It says there that Peter stayed at the house of Simon the tanner. His name's not Simon Tanner. His name's Simon, and he's a tanner. He would bring people in, lay them down, and they would get these suntans and these booths. It was amazing. No, he took the skin from animals and prepared them for use. According to the book of Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 36, he was unclean. In fact, the Hebrew Mishnah, the writings of the rabbis, says in there that if you are married to a man who becomes a tanner, you must divorce him. You can't touch a tanner. You can't. He's unclean. He's filthy. The law says stay away from a man because he touches dead bodies, dead animals. He's abomination to the Lord. Simon is a tanner. Peter is an Orthodox Jew who's been born again, still struggling. We're going to see this in Acts. He's going to have a problem. And where does he go? He goes into the house of a tanner. Let me tell you, this is a great miracle. No prejudice. No tanner. No this, no that. No black, no white. No. Hey man, you're a believer? Far out. Can I stay at your house? And it says there that Peter stays many days. Do you know what he found out? He found out what the Jews are going to find out during the Great Tribulation period, and that is Gentiles can love God. What a macro miracle is going on right here. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on, a heart has been changed. What a beautiful thing. I want to leave you with this thought. The miracle of ministry. You can read it later in 2 Kings chapter 2 through chapter 4. It's a great portion of Scripture. One of my favorites. Elijah is just nearing rapture time. It's just nearing liftoff. God's going to take him away. And Elijah says to Elijah, "What, you know, can I have your ministry when you go?" And Elijah says, "Well, if you're hanging around when it happens, I guess you can have it. It's God's business. It's not my own. I can't give it to you, but it's up to him." So he says, What do you want me to do for you? He goes, "Well, that's what I want. I want your ministry when you're gone." There's the first thing Elijah says in 2 Kings 4. When he comes to somebody in need, is he says, "What can I do for you?" The last words he heard from his master, "What can I do for you?" The miracle of ministry is you and I getting outside of our little lives and blessing those that are sitting around us right here. Giving of ourselves to them and making a difference. And only then, servant, will you feel and understand and recognize that you're complete when you give yourself away. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your truth and for your powers and for your goodness in our lives. And God, I pray that you would take this message, Father, to our hearts and drive it in deep, Lord, that our ministry, whatever we might be doing, is not ours but yours alone. And God, we pray that everything that we do would be miraculous, that many might see and be believers in the Lord. We thank you, God, for your awesome goodness. Lord, we love you. We praise you. And this morning, Lord, I pray that someone here, someone, I hope, second service to come, third service to come, Lord, would want a miracle in their lives of salvation and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of their lives, as Messiah. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Miracle of Ministry. Thanks for listening, and our hope really is that you have received the miracle of salvation in your own life. The Miracle of Ministry. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, it's no secret that children of all ages are being exposed to all kinds of negative criticism about being a Christian. In Pastor Jack's book of the month called Keeping Your Kids on God's Side, written by Natasha Crane, there are 40 different conversations you can choose from to help your kids build a lasting faith. The responses are clear and easy to understand that your children can use as they spend time in school with friends or online. Again, the book is called Keeping Your Kids on God's Side, written by Natasha Crane. You can always pick up the book of the month every month at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.